Welcome back. Welcome back. And man, I was just talking to Sierra and she was like, she needed it. And then Jazz was like, is this a meditation hour? Man, let's bring them back on so we can get some more meditation. And other people were talking about a good breathing meditation. We're going to hit the chat after I tell you that you are tapped in to the grapevine with your host. That's me, Manan Sabir. And man, I feel like I'm floating on cloud nine. Straight up. That was really good. So the first hour we had, I feel like I'm talking in the library. But the first hour we had, Mondella Barnes dropped out the race. Mondella Barnes is gone. It's out the gubernatorial race in Wisconsin. And then we discovered that we needed to talk about black men healing. And we had Jamil Tyler and also Brother Lou from Just Breathe Universe on discussing black men healing and how we can, as black men, heal through our breath, through talking with each other, through being vulnerable. That's one of the best ways in which America, that's one of the best ways in which America will be able to heal. And we're going to lean into that for this next hour. We're going to lean into that. So I really appreciate you all hanging in there, kicking it with me on the award-winning Truth Radio 101.7. So we did spend an hour on healing our men, but let's talk about, real quick, let's talk about healing the wound, the debt. Because you can't heal what you won't pay for, right? I'm pretty sure we all know that. And America, you'll pay everybody else. I'm saying you, not my listeners, but America. We're talking about America, the property, the theory, will pay everybody else. You pay the Japanese. You paid the Jews with the Holocaust. Paid our native brothers and sisters. You paid the 9/11 families. You paid the Chinese. You know exactly how to cut a check. You know exactly how to cut a check when you decide the wrong, when you're able to face the wrong, when you're able to understand that maybe these people hold much more power than the people you actually owe, the people that you know that you've wronged, that people that helped build this country. Maybe, you owe them just a little bit. But why is our debt the only one that's suddenly too complicated? Why is our debt so complicated right now? 400 years, slavery, black codes, Jim Crow, redlining, mass incarceration. Every era reached in our pockets and passed the theft down. Every era. Look at white families. They're still to this day, 6 times the median net worth of black families. So, for example, a black family makes, $45,000, roughly. 6 times that is $285,000. What would you do as a black family, nuclear family, with $285,000 regularly? Annually, so this gap isn't based upon happenstance. It's not based upon happenstance. It's not based upon, hey man, I just got the wrong job. That is not the case. We're gonna talk about the jobs too, because Majority of our kids should not be going to, just real quick, the majority of our kids should not be going to school just to get a job, to make that $45,000. They should be going to school to learn how to own the job. To learn how to own the job. Look at Byron Allen, comedian. Went from a comedian to a billionaire. That should be the norm. Not a wealth gap. A wealth gap. Families led by black men, a wealth gap 6 times less than our white counterparts. $45,000 a year for families versus our white counterparts at them making $285,000. The gap is not anything else other than policy. It's not anything else other than policy. But it's not necessarily a policy that is embedded in American politics and social cues and social norms and all the other stuff. It's not just that policy. It's our policy. It's the black agenda. It's the black policy. It's us understanding how we have to be a part of the team. You have to remember, even a person like Dr. Claude Anderson said, you don't have to worry about socialism and communism and all the other stuff. What we do have to worry about is the fact that he literally said it's nothing wrong with capitalism because capitalism was built off our backs. It started with us. In the late 1500s, it started with us. So why cannot we learn to use capitalism to capitalize while everybody else is doing it? And we're running from it. We shouldn't be running from it at all. Look at Japanese Americans, 1988. $20,000 a person. 20 G's a person. What they call it? 20 stacks? Is that it, Jazz? 20 stacks. Stack is a G? Stack is a G? Yes. And an apology. They got written apologies. Germany paid Holocaust survivors. We did too. Paid Holocaust survivors. They've been paying Holocaust survivors since 1952. But the largest Holocaust in the world belonged to the black people, to the people who knew. They even knew during slavery. This is the crazy part. They looked at our skin. They knew that they could take us to this place called America or Europe. And know that we couldn't go far. You know why? Because our skin was dark as gold. Our skin was darker than theirs. So we stuck out like a scarlet letter A. So none of this is fantasy. None of this is fantasy. We can do this. They found the money to pay everybody else. Look at Evanston, Illinois. Evanston, Illinois already did it. Evanston already did it. They started paying people. These little cities, California built a whole task force. The state of California built a whole task force behind reparations. Straight up. So it's a choice that they keep refusing. And I'm going to keep it real. These hard questions do exist. Who gets paid, lineage, race, okay, we got that. Recent immigrants, and is it a check or is it an investment? They get paid in land. Do we let the HBCUs govern it? Business capital, do we put it in the business capital? We got those questions. Because we already know a check, if it's 20 G's, gets spent. But for me, ownership lasts generations. If you own something, it lasts generations. We were supposed to receive 40 acres and a mule and $100. That $100 today would be 10 mil, 10 million per person. We were supposed to get $100 and 40 acres and a mule and didn't receive it. Didn't receive it at all. So even in the yes, even if we get a yes, even if it was like, yeah, there's a real fight about how. How would you build it? How would you build it? And if not money, then what? If not now, then when? They paid everybody else but us. They paid everybody else but us. And it's for me, if the money was mine, man, you know, I would spend it on healing. Come on, y'all. Come on, team. Bring it in. Bring it in. Put your hands in the middle. Let's go. One on the count of three. Boom. Break. Let's go back to the locker room real quick. We got work to do. My squad, we're going back to the locker room. We got work to do. We're going to go underground. Whew. When we come back, we're going to talk about some black billionaires and jail over family land. What one woman did to keep the generations alive in her family. y'all got to stay around for this. You're on the award-winning Truth Radio, and you are talking with me on the Grapevine. We'll be back. Ooh, welcome back. Welcome back to the Grapevine. Welcome back to the Grapevine. I'm telling y'all, this show has been about breathing, healing. We talked about Mandela Barnes. We talked to some brothers that I'm cool and comfortable with, discussing my vulnerabilities on Sundays. Yes. Now we're talking about how we're going to fiscally come up. How are we going to spend this money if we get the money? If we got a Brinks truck, how big do we want our Brinks truck to be? How big do we want that Brinks truck to be? We spent time on what America owes us. Now flip it. Let's flip it. Because here's the uncomfortable question. What do we owe each other? We got black billionaires. I mean, real life black billionaires now, plural. So while we wait on a check from the government that ain't coming, what are the ones who already made it doing with it? That's the conversation. I already quoted Dr. Claude Anderson about this, but I'm going to actually kind of stay in his lane too, because he always says that. He had a quote, and his quote was that we got black billionaires, and he knows a few, that will take their black billionaire dollar and go, he said, go build a school in Africa somewhere in the jungle and won't spend a dime in the jungles of their home country where they live and where they've made money at. Won't spend a dime. And be a couple of miles away from a mother and her son or kids having to use a stove to warm their house during the winter. That's very, very interesting. That's very interesting. When your own house is on fire, where does the water go first? Y'all, hear me out. Where does the water go first? That's the whole debate. Do our billionaires inspire the world, or do they just invest at home? Do they inspire the world, or do they invest at home? And I'm going to tell you up front. I'm going to straight up tell you up front. I don't think it's either or, but I think we let them off the hook too. We let them off the hook too easy. We let them off the hook too easy. And today we ain't doing that. We're not going to do that. We're going to keep them on the hook. We're going to keep them on the hook. Yo, we got a caller. Ben, what's up?
Listening to your conversation, well, your monologue, and I'm just sort of thinking about a couple things.
Holla at me.
One, the whole idea about reparations, I guess the question would be, how would you actually facilitate it? You know, where would the money go? It wouldn't go to specific individuals, but you figure whatever institutions that would be beneficial to the community as a whole would possibly be the best benefactor of that. That could be education, it could be colleges, it could be startup, it could be business sorts of investments, it could be other types of services that other people may or may not render to the extent that we would like them to do, and we would do it ourselves. So it would be interesting to see how that would happen, because there's another view of this in terms of, if you gave everybody cash and it was a one-time deal, would they do things that would be lasting, or would we just blow it?
Well, stay on the line. You know, I don't have the answers, and I'm just giving thought to the topic. Maybe the answer is coming from people like you. Maybe the answer is coming from people who are actually in the crux of the issue, right? Maybe the answer is coming from individuals that understand where that we are the canaries in the coal mine. They understand the technology. You understand it. Like, you get it. Where should this money go? Where would you do? Where would the money go if the money came to you in $20,000 increments?
Well, I guess everybody's situation is different, but whatever I feel is lacking from quote unquote society, or you feel like you could do it better if you had an opportunity to do it, it would provide the means for people who feel like they can make a difference to have the ability to actually make a difference. You know, we typically show up and participate. Participation is great, but that's not necessarily long standing, because you do have, you know, you got to be able to scale, and you got to be able to have things that bodies just in and of themselves can't provide.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to have like some force multipliers. I mean, if you say, we want to pool our money together. You know, if you say we need $10 million, we don't have 10 millionaires in Milwaukee that could say we're going to give $1 million apiece. But
you said we don't. We said we don't have.
I let me put it this way. It's not public knowledge. The big people, the people you could insinuate, long-standing families probably have it. And we know who those people typically are. But there's a lot of unsung people out here that got access to dollars, but they're not necessarily in the limelight.
Mm.
They don't necessarily want to be in the limelight.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, they have, you know, people say give money. Well, not everybody can give money or give money to to significant degrees. Case in point, look at the church. Churches is the one place that white people don't control black people money.
Right.
And churches need money to do some of what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And we come up with that. But again, you know, what if, you know, if I'm tithing, like I happen to come into a windfall and I'll give a little sum, I just give what I can every single time willingly. It adds up. But, you know, they're limited to, I can serve my congregation, maybe the people, the block that my congregation is on. Mm-hmm. Maybe I have a school. Maybe I have a daycare. Maybe I have housing. It all's over the map. I guess what I'm getting at is, you know, you kind of went down the road of billionaires, letting them off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan, Oprah, Tyler Perry, Byron Allen, 50 Cent, Jay-Z, Beyonce, all them people got money, right?
Right.
But you can't ask them to do what you won't do.
Well,
you know, I'm not talking about you figuratively.
Right.
Do you give?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you give of your resources or your talent or your support to people who are doing the heavy lifting? And sometimes you have to look at that and go, I don't know if that's, you know, people, you know, living what they're asking for.
Well, just stay on. Just give me one answer this question. Are we living,
yep,
are we living in especially Black America, are we living in a individualistic society within Black America, or are we a part of a team? Because that will tell the difference.
I think it depends on the circle you, it depends on who you associate with.
Mm-mm.
Some people
Hold on, Ben. Is it the answer to this question? It can't be both. You can't be an individual and a team. Now, you could have somebody, I'm just saying to you, you know, a team, if you look at this, who won the last Super Bowl? Who won the last NBA championship? It was the New York Knicks. New York Knicks might have had superstars, but you can't play four people on a squad against five guys for 82, maybe 100-plus games, right?
That's true. But at the same token, you got to have people. You got to have people who want to be part of the team and be willing to play their role on the team.
Yeah, and we got a lot of individuals on the squad.
Exactly. You can have. If you want a team, but you want five individuals who ain't thinking about the collective, they thinking about, I'm gonna get mine.
Yeah, that's true.
So you got to look at it that way. I know we're just talking philosophically.
Yeah.
But I guess what I'm saying is if we're looking for somebody to give, then my question is, what are you giving?
Right.
And then how much should they give? I can't tell a man how much he should give.
Yes,
you
true.
Might say, well, they got it. You don't know what they, you don't know what else they got to deal with. And you don't know what else they give to already.
Yeah. Say that again, Ben, one more time.
So,
you said,
I'm saying,
yeah,
some people, I can't tell a man what he should give.
Yeah.
And if he is given, that's his cause. It's his resources.
Yeah.
And I may give to one cause, I might not give to your cause. I don't mean I'm not willing to participate in uplifting the whole. Just meaning that I give to where I feel my interests are. Some people give to stuff that deal with business development. Some people give to education. Some people give to people's social needs. It's all over the map. I just think you need to find your tribe and be with those folks who are like-minded and do it, you know, get in where you fit in,
mm-hmm,
and do your part. And hopefully, as everybody's doing a part where they can make a difference, it impacts us as a collective.
Yeah.
But it's a philosophical question, and I guess the place you start is based on whatever resources you have and the groups of people you have a potential circle of influence over and causes that you believe in.
Yeah.
Are you putting in to make a difference? If a lot of people just do a little bit, we'll, mm-hmm, get a lot done. But
man,
too many times, you can't do the big bang. That's not realistic.
That's right. Hey Ben, man, I appreciate it. We're gonna continue this discussion. I appreciate it. We're gonna go to break. Before we go to break, we're giving away. Get ready. I need y'all to be ready for this. State Fair Fun. Y'all heard that, right? State Fair Fun with us. 101.7 The Truth. Today only. July 30th. That's today, Thursday. We're giving away five family four packs of Wisconsin State Fair tickets. This is your chance to win four tickets and enjoy all the food, rides, and entertainment at the 2026 Wisconsin State Fair is going on from July 30th to August 9th. So I need y'all to hear me out. That's four tickets, and you'll be able to enjoy all the food, all the rides, and entertainment. Be the 10th caller and share why you listen to the truth. There's no purchase necessary to enter a win. The contest is open to eligible Wisconsin residents. You have to be age 18 or older unless otherwise stated. Void where prohibited. Official contest rules are available at 1017thetruth.com. All contests are conducted in accordance with the station's official rules. Be the 10th caller and share why you listen to The Truth for free tickets.
This is the Bloomberg Black Business Beat. SpaceX debuting on Wall Street was a big deal for investors across the spectrum, from established institutional investors to less experienced retail traders. Earn Your Leisure co-founders Troy Millings and Rashad Bilal saw this as an opportunity to educate their audience as much as possible.
When we see IPOs as retail investors, we want to make sure that we understand what lockup periods are, right, when those expire, how things can get sold out of positions, and people can really get stuck holding a bag, so to say. And so we want to make sure that we educate them. If you're going to invest in it, you're going to do it for the long term.
That's Millings on Bloomberg recently, talking about some of the advice they share on their weekly podcast called Market Mondays. Here's Rashad Bilal in that same conversation.
You see a lot of people trading options now. You see a lot of people taking more risk. And that a lot of times is done because they want short-term gratification. So it's our job to, you know, educate them as much as possible and lead them with long-term investing in solid companies.
I'm Bloomberg's Justin Milliner on the Black Business Beat.
What the business is. Welcome back. Welcome back. What the business is. Welcome back to the Grapevine. I'm your host, Manan Sabir, and we are in the building. Yes, we are. This was such a dope day. Such a dope day. Nothing but healing. Nothing but healing. People love to heal. We got to continue to heal. I'm excited because we are in the award-winning Truth Radio Studio. 1017. Listen, y'all. I'm literally, after our breathing session earlier, I feel like I'm on cloud nine, for real. I feel like I'm straight up on cloud nine. I needed that. So today we were able to breathe with our brother Lou, and I felt stress go right down my back, and it left. Forgot what I was even stressing about. Looking to discover and support local businesses in our community? Then make sure you tune in every Friday at 8 a.m. to Truth in the Morning with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman for What the Business Is, powered by We Energies. Each week, you hear from local business owners as they share what their business is, where they're located, and one valuable lesson they've learned along the way. We Energies is proud to help power local businesses and the communities they serve. Don't miss What the Business Is every Friday at 8 a.m. only on Truth in the Morning with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman, powered by We Energies, delivering the energy that powers local business. And Paul, how are you doing today, Paul?
I'm all right, brother. How you doing?
Welcome. Thank you for being the 10th caller in the in our state fair ticket drawing. What station?
Thank you.
Hey, look, I'm glad you're here. What station brings you the truth?
Oh, 101.7, brother.
Man, I really appreciate
it. In Milwaukee, man, that's the only station besides 620 I listen to.
That's right. That's right. I really appreciate everything that you're gonna do with those tickets. I wanna be a part of your party. Can I be a part of your party?
Oh yeah. I'm hoping to catch Nelly, man. That's what I wanna see.
All right, cool. Well, we'll see you down there then. Thank you, Paul.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Bye bye. Yes. So we're talking about a lot. We've talked about healing. We talked about Mandela Barnes dropping out the race. We talked to two brothers that were able to help me heal myself. And now we're discussing reparations. Reparations from the perspective of Black people, of course. And I left off before we got to our break, before we went to our break, I left off and my question was, when your house is on fire, Where does the water go first? Where does the water go first? That's the whole debate. Do our billionaires, do our billionaires inspire the world? Or do they invest at home? Should they invest at home? Do our billionaires, should our billionaires, how about this? Should our billionaires inspire the world? And that was based upon the question that, or the topic that Dr. Claude Anderson said, hey, we got people who are billionaires that will spend money on a school in South Africa, but they ain't spending money on a school in, you know, South Chicago. I mean, think about it. Think about it. And we're not talking about any one person. You can, I'm not discussing the a person, because it's not a person who has $1 billion. We're not counting people's pockets. But what they portray as being who they are, we want to know, are they looking to inspire the world, or are they looking to invest in the home that they have made their money in? You got to think about it. The water don't go outside. If you, your house is on fire, the water don't go outside. It comes from outside, inside, and it stays in the house. It stays in the house. You can, but you, here's, and here's the thing, I really, we all know this. You can't eat inspiration. You can't eat inspiration. You can't buy a house with a magazine cover. So let's talk who's moving the money right here, right here. Robert Smith paid off an entire graduating class student debt. Tyler Perry built a studio in Atlanta. Magic Johnson, he put theaters and businesses all over wherever, the United States. David Stewart, if you don't know about that, Worldwide Technology, one of the biggest black-owned companies in America. Billions and billion dollars, billions and billions of dollars in revenue. Thousands of people on this payroll. Yeah, hey, look, if you never heard his name, look him up. He's one of the richest dudes in America. Black man. Killer Mike, you know, Greenwood. Here's what Claude Anderson said, and this is the key. A dollar circulates in our communities for weeks before it leaves. In our communities. Studies say that it's gone in other communities. A dollar circulates in other communities for weeks. In our community, a dollar circulates for hours, and then it's gone. Y'all, think about that. We got over $1 trillion a year in spending power. A whole nation's worth of money. A whole nation's worth of money. And almost none of it stays home. Almost none of it stays home. So the billionaire question ain't really about charity. It's about circulation. Are they building the pipes? Are they really building the infrastructure? Banks, factories, grocery stores, media, all that we are supposed to own. We are supposed to own that. That all that stuff keeps our money flowing in our own communities, in our own hands. Because it ain't about how many black billionaires we got. That's, if you can make, you can have, everybody can be a billionaire. Everybody in Milwaukee, or half of us, can be billionaires. It's not about that. It's about how many black-owned jobs, banks, blocks, factories we own. If we are constantly pushing our dollars, bringing our dollars in and pushing them out, if I take this shirt off, this shirt right here that I have on, and I look at the tag, what does the tag say? Made
in China.
Made in China. Made in Cambodia. Made in Vietnam. Made in Laos. Made in wherever. Made in wherever. Made somewhere else. And it has to go through so many barriers. So by the time it's on my back, man, I got to pay $50. $50 for a t-shirt. When in reality, this t-shirt, and I've seen it myself in China, been to China. I literally have seen this. These shirts cost nothing. Cost nothing. I've seen actual Jordans being made. Jordans. Air Jordan shoes. $20. $20. That's how much I pay for my Jordans.
You still have them?
I still got the Jordans. I still got the J's in the back of the car. I got the J's in the back of the car. I came back. I had six pairs of Yeezys.
Yeah, I would rather have six pairs of Yeezys than one pair of Jordans.
But look, I had the Yeezys. I came back and I had all kinds of clothes. Man, look, I went over there with nothing. I didn't have to pack. I didn't pack nothing. I had just my undergarments. But then go over there and I came back with everything. It's easy. It's easy, y'all. For real. When we come back, we're going to talk about a young lady. Not a young lady. I guess she's older than me. But a lady who chose ownership over giving her land away and the price she paid to keep her land. This is a really interesting story. Really interesting story. Stay tuned. You're on The Grapevine. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Yep. 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 One day I'm a freestyle. One day I'm a freestyle.
I don't think you can.
Yeah, you're going to catch it. You're going to definitely catch it. I ain't ready yet. My brain still is not operating at its optimal level. But I will freestyle for y'all.
I do more breathing.
Hey, little. Hey, you know what? Next week, this is official. Official, y'all. Oh, sorry. Welcome back to The Grapevine. Brother Zach just distracted me. Welcome back to The Grapevine. You're on the award-winning Truth Radio. The Truth Radio 101.7. And after my breathing session next week, I am going to officially freestyle at 3 o'clock on next Wednesday. Next Wednesday, you will get the official boom, boom, boom. Can I get the boom, boom?
I pull up that page.
Oh, man. Yes, y'all. Listen up. Manon Sabir is going to freestyle 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock next week. Next week, I'm getting this freestyle on. After my breathing session, I'm going to breathe into a freestyle. I keep promising that I will, and you will get it.
Really?
2 minutes of fire. 2 minutes of fire. Now, let's get back to my topic. Listen, y'all. Jail over family land. I'm going to add that to my freestyle, too. Jail over family land. We just talked about billionaires and banks and black men healing and Mandela dropping out of the race. I appreciate you, Mandela. Salute to you. Thanks for putting it to the side. But let me tell you what the real wealth is. And it ain't in numbers. It ain't a number on the screen. It's not a check that clears. Real wealth is dirt. Here in America, real wealth is dirt. It's land you can stand on. Land they can't unplug. Land that's still yours when the power goes out and the bank fails. And this next story, though, it's about a sister that she understood that so deep in her bones, so deep in her soul, so deep in her spirit, she was willing to lose her freedom before she lose her ground. And I'm picture it with me. Courtroom, a judge looks at a black woman dead in her eyes and gives her a choice sign the land over or go to jail. And everybody in that room is waiting for her to break, you know, or go to jail. Oh, man, to go to jail? Nah, or go to jail. They're waiting for her to break, to sign her land over. And to be reasonable, this sister, she looked that judge right back in the face, and she picked jail for literally 2 weeks. Locked up over land that's been in her family for generations. Over land that's been in her family for generations. Now, that's the news you want to put in your head. That's the news. That's the information you want your kids to hear. And we ain't gonna call that stubborn. You know, I think the people who are trying to take that land will call it stubborn, difficult, emotional. You know, all the taglines of people that are hurt in trauma. Nah, you know what that you call that? You call that family. You call that ready and willing to do things for your family that other people aren't ready and willing to do. So she didn't fall for the trick. She didn't fall for the trick bag. She didn't fall for the tricknology. She's the last line of defense in a robbery that's been running in this country for hundreds of years. For hundreds of years, they've came over and taken this land. Even their own people know it. When they came over, they said the first, and this is history talking. They said the first Europeans came here and wanted to assimilate with the native tribes. They came here and wanted to assimilate with the native tribes. You know why? Because they recognized that their society was a society that was taking somebody else's land. And not only was it taking somebody else's land, it brought disease and famine into that land. And so they had people, not all their people, just a few, some very small percentage, left their European confines, a European American, not American at the time, European confines in Virginia, wherever they landed, and left. They left. Yes. So they're not going to teach you this stuff, and they're not going to teach you all this in school. They're not going to teach you this stuff in school. This is stuff you're going to get on the truth.
Ooh. I know. I'll clip it.
Man, that was... Dang, Zach. Zach's a DJ, man. He just missed that one. Pew.
No, that's a promo clip. That's a commercial clip. That's better.
Yeah.
The air horn would have thrown it off.
Oh yeah, you're right. It's one generation out of slavery. One, black folks in this country owned somewhere around 15 million acres of that land. We had almost 1 million black farmers in 1910. We came out of bondage with nothing. No 40 acres, no mule, no $100, no apologies. And we still clawed our way. This is inspiration, y'all. But y'all can't build capital off of inspiration. I'm just giving you a little bit of inspiration, though. But you can't build capital off of inspiration. You got to go do the work, and that's what they did. They didn't have the 40 acres. They didn't have the $100. They didn't have the mule. I had a shoot. My grandmother, my great grandfather had to whoop the slave master's tail at the tail end of slavery. My family's old. He had to whoop this dude's butt. Period. He raised that whip up, and my granddaddy took a sickle and said, if you do anything else, that whip came down. Yep. My great grandfather whooped his, I can't say it, but gave it to him. him and the horse. Him and the horse. He was on that horse. He gave it to him and the horse. That's right. Oh, donkey slave master. And then he took his land. My grandfather made the dude give the land up. My great-grandfather, I'm sorry. That's right. My great-grandfather, fought his way on my father's side, fought his way through Reconstruction. It's the reason why majority of our people, he literally fought his way through Reconstruction as a prize fighter. That's the reason why majority of my family have been fighters for generations because of him. Because he had to fight his way through. Literally. And he said if he would have lost, he wouldn't have been able to go back home to his family. Because they would have took him. They would have did something with him. Y'all get it? We didn't get an apology. And we still clawed our way to owning a piece of this land. To own just a piece. So I'm not saying, when people are trying to bully us off of land, trying to bully us off of the things that we own, don't leave. Keep getting more. We shouldn't just have 5 black billionaires. We should have 500 black billionaires. And they should be using that money to develop capital. The capital streams here in America. Take this land back. Take your land back. Let me breathe a little bit. I need to breathe. It started with a brother, Mandela Barnes. Then to my brothers, Jamil and Lou, they pulled up, giving us a little medicine. That a black man ain't healed until he helps heal other black men. He's the most dangerous thing in America. Then we put America on trial for debt, and it knows it owes and keeps pretending it can't afford it. Then we close on a sister who chose jail over giving up her ground. If I haven't told you once, this week I'm gonna tell you right now that I love you. Thank you for tuning in to the Grapevine, picking some grapes with me. Guess who we got next? Jazz. Tap in with Jazz next on The Truth Radio.